The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you so much for that, and I appreciate the Palmore family and also Mrs. Wynn. That's, of course, Brother Palmore's sister, doing a great job. Thank the Lord for them. Take your Bible, go back to Nehemiah chapter 8, look at verse 10. Again, here are those that are going on their way. The Bible says that they're eating the fat, they're drinking, but yet they take time. They take time, even though they're going their way, even though they're eating, and even though they're drinking, they're taking time to consider others. The Bible says that what they do is they send portions onto them for whom nothing is prepared, for the day is holy unto the Lord. Neither, it says, be sorry. It says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And again, I announced a moment ago, I'd like to speak this morning on finding the joy of the Lord. I think that most people like that first portion of Scripture where it says to go your way and eat the fat and drink. And I think most people like that. Matter of fact, most people like to maybe have that as their life verse. But yet, the Bible does teach something else, where there was those that were also considered that had less. There was those that were considered that nothing was prepared for them. And the Bible says for those that had nothing prepared for them, that this day is a holy day unto the Lord. It says, neither be ye sorry. He says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. But now notice what is taking place here, something that's overlooked, I do believe, where they had prepared and they had sent these portions to those that were in need. You know, one of the things I find out as, of course, we have grown older, when I was a child, I used to be the one that would love as Christmas time approaches and her mind turns from the Thanksgiving mode to that which is the Christmas thought. And when I was a child, I would used to love to get those Christmas gifts, and I loved to open them up to see what was in there. And yes, I even snuck downstairs sometimes and kind of rattled the box to see. Oh, yes, I even used my penknife a time or two and then tried to seal it back and got caught twice. But you know, it was those times, if you will, that I would be excited about Christmas coming up. And then I began to enter into my teenage years, and my heart for my parents began to get bigger. My heart for my parents began, I yearned very much to be able to be close to my parents as a teenager. I yearned very much to be able to please my dad as much as I possibly could. I wanted my dad to be happy. I wanted my mom to be happy. And so with everything that I had inside of me, I had a desire to be able to please mom and daddy. And so my heart kind of changed as far as Christmas was concerned. It was not more so about what I wanted, but as a young teenager, it became more so about what they wanted, what they needed. And so my heart began to change, and I began to think, well, you know, it's not about the things, it's the new gadgets out. And yes, we did have gadgets even back in my day, but they were different gadgets, you know. And had long, the Rubik's Cube. And what do you call that? The Rubik's Cube. Yeah, that was a gadget. And so it was electronic. But honestly, you know, my heart began to change. My heart began to want to see my parents happy. My heart began to change to want to see mom and dad strong in the Lord and receive Christ as Savior. Especially after I got saved, you know, has my heart changed completely to that direction after the age of 18. But I remember my early teenage years where it wasn't about the me as much as it was about the them. It was about giving them what they wanted, giving them what they were saving up for, trying to provide some things that they needed in the house and stuff like that. And I begin to think about those things. Well, I believe that this verse here, you have people that are looking out and they're saying, okay, we have this and God's been good. And so what we want to do is we want to help to provide for others. But I think sometimes we miss that. There's the joy that sometimes we miss. Even as young people, we miss the fact that Christmas is not, or the Christmas season is not about you. First off, it's about the Savior. Second off, it's about others. somebody gave the acrostics of joy one day, and they said that joy is Jesus, others, then yourself. So joy, Jesus, others, yourself. And sometimes I think that we miss that. Sometimes we'll get caught up in selfishness. Sometimes we get caught up in sinfulness. Sometimes we get caught up in different situations. And we begin to allow these things to overtake us. Matter of fact, I think that we ought to consider some things. I think that joy does some things to us. Joy changes duty into delight. And I want to give you some scriptures, and we'll go back to Nehemiah. But I want you to think about this. How is it that duty changes into delight when it comes to joy? Well, when our joy is in the Lord, when our joy is serving Jesus Christ, when our joy is putting Christ first, when our joy is stepping out and making sure that we make the decisions primarily that is focused on Christ and that brings joy to His heart, it changes our perspectives on life. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 18, it says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 19, the Bible says, "For what is our hope or our joy or our crown of rejoicing?" It says, "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" Listen to it in verse 20. He says, "For ye are our glory and joy." So Paul said this. He said, my duty was that I was going to come on to you, but that duty changed into a delight as even though Satan had hindered me, it became delightful to know that you are my joy. He said, you're the reason that I have joy. And by the way, how is it that at church, when you come to church and you've made a friend and you get to see that friend and that friend brings you joy inside of your life? Is that talking about that which is Christ first, where he understood that truth, and then others second, and he's not even in the picture himself? He's not looking at how others bring him joy. He's looking scripturally at how he can bring joy to somebody else. Wouldn't that change the way that we view Christmas? Wouldn't that change the way that we view ourselves? If we decided that what we're going to do this Christmas season, you say, why are you preaching on this when we're not even into December yet? Because it would be good if we prepared our hearts. It would be good if we take and we start before all the Christmas stuff comes up and buy this and buy that and the urge comes up. Wouldn't it be good instead of pressing your parents this year for I want this and I've got to have this and give this to me? Wouldn't it be good to be able to say to a mom and to a dad, what do you want? Wouldn't it be good to be able to say to a grandma or a granddad, what do you want? Wouldn't it be good to be able to say to your wife or to your husband, what can I do for you, not what I expect out of you? Here we see that joy changes duty into delight. Statement number two, something about joy, and I'm going to show you how to get joy and where joy comes from. But joy changes persecution into privilege. Watch this. Acts chapter 5 and in verse 40, the Bible says that here they were called. They called the apostles together in Acts chapter 5 and in verse 40. The Bible says that they'd beaten them and they commanded them not to speak in the name of the Lord, and then they let him go. The Bible says in verse 41, the Bible says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his sake or for his name. In verse 42, the Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So here they were called before the council, and they were given that which was a reprimand. They were beaten, they were released, and they were set upon their releasing with a commandment that was very staunch. We command you not to preach or to teach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. They left that council after being beaten harshly. They left that council praising God for the ability to be able to be beaten and go through persecution and suffering for his namesake. So here they were persecuted, but they turned that persecution because of the joy of serving Christ into that which was a privilege. They looked at it and said, wow, we were worthy to be beaten for Christ. And then what did they do? They went out. They did pick up their Bible. They did go out. They still taught in the temples. They still preached in the highways and the hedges. They still did that. Why? Because they were not looking at the persecution. They were looking at it as a delight. Why? Because their joy was not in the council. Their joy was in Jesus Christ. See, when your joy becomes in the person of Jesus Christ, nobody can take that away from you. Doesn't matter what the persecution is. Doesn't matter if they understand you down at the job place. It does not matter what people see. It does matter if Jesus Christ is first or not. Joy also changes the burdens into the blessings. Philippians chapter 1 states this. The Bible talks about in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, but I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, I just want you to know, these burdens that I carry, it's okay. Because the burdens I carry, because Jesus Christ is my joy, they're for the furtherance of the gospel. He says in verse 13, the Bible says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the places. Look at verse 14, Philippians chapter 1. The Bible says, and many of the brethren, it says, in the Lord wax confidence by my bonds. So what's happening now? His burdens now become a blessing. He said, because of my burdens, because I'm in these bonds, now my bonds gives the strength to somebody else. My bonds gives the courage to somebody else. My bonds gives the blessing to somebody else. The Bible says that they're much more bold to speak the word without here. All right, so he said this. He said, because of my persecutions, they're able to stand up and they're able to go forward. Because of my bonds, now other people are going to be blessed because they see that I didn't give up. Hello? You said, but you don't understand, preacher. I've got all these burdens, but don't give up. By the way, the Bible says that we're supposed to come unto him when we are burdened and heavy laden, and he will give us rest. So when the burdens seem tough, you go to him, and he reminds us why. He said, because his yoke is easy, and his burdens are light. So no matter what, it doesn't matter how heavy these burdens are to you. Beloved, I'm telling you something as a fact this morning. You take your burdens to the Lord. You take your troubles to the Lord. You take your persecutions to the Lord. You take your temptations, the problems that you've got, and being able to live for God. You take those things to God, and God is the one that can help you. God is the one that can give you rest. God is the one that can give you strength. Why? Because his burdens are light. I'm saying this, that we understand about that which is joy. Joy does something in our lives. What does joy do? Joy changes a duty into a delight. It changes a persecution into a privilege. It changes a burden into a blessing. Let me give you this. It changes a trial into that which is a triumph. A trial. Here's Bible. Listen to it. James chapter 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when falling to diverse temptations. Verse 3, the Bible says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, the Bible says, but let patience have her perfect way. It says, and ye may be perfect, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So he said this. He said that the trials, Paul is talking, or James is talking about the trials. He's talking about those trials of temptations. Those trials will try you. They will work your patience. You ever have a child that tries you? You ever have a boss that tries you? You ever be sitting beside someone and they're riding in your car and they try you? You ever have the grandkids come over and you forgot to put all the knickknacks up from the lower shelf and they got all of your expensive knickknacks and they try you? You ever have a friend and they try you? Now wait a minute, here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when that takes place, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, Let patience have her perfect way. The Bible says that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So when trials come, there is a way to turn it into triumphs. There is a way to be able to blow the trumpet of victory when trials come. How do you do that? When your joy is in the Lord. When you allow the Lord to be your joy. Now, wait a minute. How is it that you and I, and here we go, how is it, let me give you some statements, how is it that you and I can have true joy? Statement one, Christian joy is found in salvation. Christian joy is found in salvation. Here's what it says. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, the Bible says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There is no greater joy that you ought to experience during the Christmas season, during the Thanksgiving season which is past, during that which is the time of no season at all, is the fact that you know you can rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is sealed unto the day of redemption. Listen, the Bible says it's sealed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Now, we're talking this morning about something that gives you joy. Okay, you get a flat tire, but you're not going to burn in hell. All right, you know, your wife burned Thanksgiving dinner, but you're not going to burn in hell. Come on. Okay, you thought that you had the best deal ever, and the next day they cut it 50% off. What am I saying? I'm saying this, you can rejoice because once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Thank God this morning, everlasting life is not in the baptism. Everlasting life is not in being good. Everlasting life is not in attending church. Everlasting life is not in keeping one of the Ten Commandments or five of the seven sacraments. Everlasting life is only in Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing how in your Bible, the Bible teaches, and you've heard me say it most often in congregational invitations at the end, where the Bible speaks and Jesus is now given that which is a word to those around him, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I think in our society that the gospel of Christ has become very unclear, where people today, they add what we would call substitutionary ways for salvation. And here's what they do. They add things such as baptism. They say you need to receive Jesus Christ and be baptized in order to go to heaven. One is the work and the only work of grace whereby a person can be partaker of salvation through Christ. The other is the work of man, though a righteous work, but you cannot do a work of man which is a righteous work and be able to merit salvation. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way. There's not two ways. There is not three ways. There is not four ways. There's only one way. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the only one that gives eternal life. Now, how much more should you and I, as people that are prepared Christians, be able to share that with somebody that does not know Christ? You know, I tell you what, it fills my heart. And for those of you that know me on a personal basis, you know that I labor very much to be able to give out the gospel. Now, why do I do that? Because there's going to be a day when that person dies, and if they die without Christ, there is no hope. But if a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, listen to me, he is their hope. So when a person receives Christ as Savior, he gives them everlasting life. And I'm here today to tell you on the authority of God's Word that when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. That eternal life does not go away based on your living. That eternal life is there forever because it's not based on you. It is based on the eternal Son of God. I'm saying that statement number one, how can we find this joy? Well, Christian joy is found in salvation. Statement number two, Christian joy is found in hope. Because of salvation, we have hope. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, now the God, it says, of hope. fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so what he says here, he says that the God of that which is hope can give you all joy. All right, now, how is it that we have all joy? We have all joy because we have salvation, and because we have salvation, we have hope. We have hope. I've probably given you this so much that you could probably write your own history book. But I love Andrew Jackson, what he said when he got hit through the hand of that musket ball. Blood was running out. He had a small brigade. Medic comes running up. Need to get you to the medic tent. He looked down at that young man. And he said, I've got a war to lead. He said, beside, Christians fear no death. Amen. That's why I think Christians, many times over, make the greatest soldiers. Because they understand that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's why I think that Christians, and down through history, I believe that remarkably you can see it in our history books where Christians do things, if you would please, that others do not even attempt to do. Simply because their faith is in Jesus Christ. Now I'm not being mean, but only Jesus Christ is the one that raised from the dead, and that's the truth. You can go to the founder of any type of other religion that is out there and you find the bones of those that are rotting in the grave. But when you go to the grave, the tomb of our Savior, he is there no more. Why? Because he is risen. And by the way, because we're a Christian nation, we celebrate Easter. May I tell you that Christian joy is found in salvation. Christian joy is found in hope. You ready? Christian joy is found in God's Word. Let's go back to Nehemiah, and I'm going to abide here for 10 more minutes, and then we'll end the service. But I want you to look at this morning. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 12. Here's what I want us to understand. Now that we've got the salvation settled, now that our hope is settled in salvation, where is it other than that that a Christian can find joy? Well, here's what it teaches. A Christian joy can be found in God's Word. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 12. The Bible says, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. So here are some people that had the word of God declared unto them, and they were joyful and they went their way. They went their way simply because of the fact that the Word of God had showed them something in their lives. You know, every time Satan suggests a temptation, it was our Lord. And you can see that he countered that temptation with Scripture. He said, it is written. It is written. By the way, if the Lord needed to do that when temptation comes, how much more do you and I need to do that when temptation comes? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Somebody said this, the Bible always is full of things that you cannot understand as long as you're not doing the things that you're supposed to understand. So the Bible is always full of things that you can understand as long as you continue to not do the things that you do understand. Now I'm saying over in Psalm 42 and in verse 4, the Bible says, remember these things, I poured out my soul. It says, in me, for I had gone with a multitude, the Bible says, and I went up to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise and with a multitude that kept the holy day. He said, there's a great joy in going up to the house of God. Now why did he do that? He did that because that's where the word of God was. So there's great joy in coming to church. I hope that our country never becomes like England. In England, the Word of God is drying up. Now, there's a little bit of a fire, but it's not the fire that they had hundreds of years ago. And I'm so fearful that as our country becomes more materialistic, I'm so fearful as our country now, and it scares me when I see a generation coming up and they know more about how to play computer games than they know how to work with their mind. And they know more about how to play computer games than they know how to work with their hands. I'm so fearful about what's going to happen to our nation that has a bunch of degenerate young people that do not know how to think, that do not know how to work, that are lazy beyond compare, that are couch potatoes beyond recognition. And I'm scared about our nation as we produce a generation of type of young people that if they do nothing, there is no value because they're used to doing nothing. Now, can I say in our scriptures, here's what we understand, that these people found their joy not in a computer game, not in a television, not in going out and just getting more and more and more. These people found their joy in the Lord. There's just something about yesterday I had Brother Juan that went out with me, Salazar, and man, I love his dear family, brand new members of our church, and he's come out soul winning with me a couple of times. And yesterday we were out soul winning. We knocked on a door, and dear lady came to the door, 25 years of age, and we had the privilege to stand there at her door frame and be able to show her. She was trusting in works, but she's able to understand the purity and the clearness of the gospel. And she stood there in the door frame, a young married mother with one child, and bowed her heart and received Christ and got a smile on her face, and she said, "Thank you so much." We walked down, and there was two young people in the door frame, one standing outside and one in the door frame, and we went up and had the privilege to take the Bible and show these two young ladies, one age 13, one age 11, and they bowed their heart and they received Christ. Then went up to the next door and knocked on the door, and this dear lady was completely Spanish. Her name also was Sylvia. My wife's name is Sylvia. We thought it was weird because Brother Juan's name's, his wife's name is Sylvia. So we thought, let's move all the Sylvias to the street. We'll call it Sylvia Avenue. But we knocked on the door, and this lady came to the door, and she didn't speak any English. Well, I don't speak any Spanish. So if I was knocking on the door, and it was his turn, and thank the Lord for that. But if I was knocking on the door, and I was trying to say something in Spanish, I don't know what would happen to her. But he graciously took the Bible and took a gospel tract and showed her how to be saved, and she bowed her heart. She received Christ as Savior. Hey, what greater joy is that? Amen. What greater joy is it to pass out a gospel tract and somebody with a tear in their eye stop and say, "Thank you for that"? What greater joy is it to be able to take and show somebody at Christmas time? You say, "Well, I don't know how to witness," but you can put a gospel tract and maybe a gift as you send it to somebody. Edna is a young lady that's in our church, and she works over in the other services now, and she came from an Amish home. Her pastor, she got saved, and her pastor is Dr. Combes up there in Bernardina, and Brother Combes called me up and said, "You know, Edna really needs a place to go," and she was under a little bit of persecution in some areas and was uncomfortable and needed a place to go, and he said, "Would you consider having her in your church? Could you find her a place to live?" And so the Kramers, volunteered, and she lived with the Kramers for some time, and now she's living over with Brother Stead and Mrs. Stead, helping Mrs. Stead, of course, with the household work and just being a blessing to them. And so, and boy, she has grown, and she goes out soul winning now, and she has such a burden for her Amish community. She has such a burden to give them the gospel. She came to my office with tears, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "I want so bad my daddy to be saved. I want so bad my mama to be saved. I want so bad my brothers and sisters that are not saved. And I'd just like to see everybody that's in the Amish community saved." And by the way, she didn't come in and she didn't say, "Boy, I tell you what, I want to do this." No, her heart was, "I want to see them get saved." You know, and can I tell you, that's how the Apostle Paul was. The Apostle Paul was that one that said, "I would be willing to lay down my own life for my own kindred if they just come to know Christ." You know, can I tell you, our joy is found in God's Word, but also our joy is found in church. He said, "I went up to the house of God," in Psalm 42 and in verse 4. He said in Psalm 27 in verse 6, the Bible says, I offer, it says, in His tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. And so what was he doing? He was offering sacrifices in the house of God, and that brought him joy. Can I tell you what sacrifices are? sacrifices when you hear that something needs to be clean. And see, we talk about soul. We're a soul winning church. I don't apologize for that, by the way. We're a caring church, and we run buses, and we try to help people around the world get the gospel, and I don't apologize for that. Amen. We will always be that way. Amen. But can I tell you, there's other sacrifices that has to be made in churches. You know, we walk into the clean bathrooms, but sometimes we forget the bathrooms have to be clean. That's why they're clean when you walk in. That's a sacrifice. Someone has to sacrifice to come up to clean those bathrooms. You walk down the hallway and you see that the hallway is clean, but it didn't get cleaned by itself. There's somebody sacrificing. You open a door and you notice when you come to church that every door is clean. There's no fingerprints on it. Somebody's sacrificing. The ushers that usher, somebody's sacrificing. The Sunday school teachers that prep before teaching, somebody is sacrificing. The choir that spends countless of hours rehearsing, and this coming year we're going to have our first, and I'm excited about it, our first Christmas cantata next year, and I'm excited about that, but can I tell you, that's going to be a lot of sacrifice. The media department, the guys that work the cameras, the ones that put out stuff for other churches. We have over 7,000 people that listen to sermons every single month, and to be able to be encouraged, to be able to be helped, and that happens through that media department. That's a lot of hours in there, making sure it's done right and making sure it gets put online. That's called sacrifice. Those that go out on the bus routes early to pick up some of you that even rode our buses this morning, that's a sacrifice. Those that make the Saturday visitation, where they go out and they visit those bus routes. And they'll put in hour after hour. And while everybody else has a day off, many of our men are working Monday through Friday, no day off, 12 hours a day. Then they'll come and work a bus route, and they'll put in 8 hours sometimes of visiting. That's a sacrifice. For those bus drivers that get there early and they do the bus check and they make sure that everything is functioning right and making sure that that bus is well equipped to make a road trip, and then they drive it, and then they drive it home. You know, many of our, Brother Chris is one of them, and others that are sitting in this room, Brother Kazar, and I can't begin to start naming everybody, I'll get shot, but we have bus captains and bus workers and bus drivers, and you know, they'll take people home and they don't get back at the church until 3:30. They don't get lunch. They get back in time for supper only, and many of them skip their lunch. That's a sacrifice. You ready for this one? Our deacons get back. Many of them are bus captains or bus workers or bus captains. They get back at 3:30. Then they have to report to the counting room by 4:30. They have 1 hour. Now, these are guys that work 7 days a week, some of them 6 days a week. I'm 7 days a week when I say the visitation, when I'm saying working on Sunday. I mean, they just go and go and go, but you never hear them complain. You never hear them bellyache. You never hear them say, hey, I just want to give it up. It's not worth it. No, you know what I hear? Hey, I saw this little girl get on the bus today. I saw this teenager get on the bus today. Wow, I watched this family get victory in their lives. And wow, what a wonderful way to live my life and to be spent for Christ. I'm saying this, they had great joy in serving Christ. I think sometimes we miss that joy. There's the joy of salvation, the joy that salvation brings, hope. There's the joy we find in the Word of God, the joy that we find in church, and I'm finishing up, the joy that we have in finishing our course. Isn't it amazing? Most of the time, people will not remember you how you lived. Most of the time, they will remember you how you lived at the point of death. I've seen people that mess up their lives here, get right with God here, die here while they were right with God. Hello? And that's how they remembered. I've seen people that live for God here, mess their lives up here, not live for God, and they die while not living for God, And that's all people ever remember. Now let me give you a point in case. It's appointed on to die, or appointed on to man once to die, and after that the judgment. The problem with that is we have no idea when we're going to die. Hello? We have no idea. So the safest place to be, in my figuring, is live for God all the way through, so that when you die, if you want to be remembered in a right way, a good way, a helpful way, then you're remembered the way that you die. Hello? Dr. Lee Robertson, 90-some years of age, never liked to fly. Somebody asked him one day, why don't you like to fly? Aren't you sure you're saved? He said, I'm sure I'm saved. It's not I that I'm worried about, it's the pilot. So he would drive, even in his 90s. He'd get behind the wheel, and his wife was the one that was his GPS. And he would drive all across the country in his 90s. That's how he died. He died serving Jesus Christ. Brother Williams, my former pastor, when we left there, honey, I guess he was in his 60s, I guess. I don't know, something, you know, probably mid-60s. Anyway, every time I go back and I preach in the area where he lived, he would always come to hear me preach. What a joy. I had the privilege to work for him for 10 years as an assistant. What a joy to see your pastor coming somewhere to hear you preach. And boy, he would come down the aisle, then he had a stroke. Then he walked down the aisle very slow. Then he had another stroke. And the second stroke was worse than the first. Brother Purvis, when he would come, he'd take forever to walk down the aisle. Four-prong, walking down the aisle, lips all chattering. I mean, just, I'd pat him on the hand. I'd say, Brother Williams, it's good to see you. He said, I came to hear my favorite preacher. Put his hand back here. There is joy in living for Jesus Christ. Don't miss out on that joy. Don't miss out on what God can do through you. Here's what the Bible teaches, and I'm done. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. The Bible says, and none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. There's a way to finish it with joy. Well, what you do is you just decide, that's what I want to do. And by the way, you don't have to be Superman, where everything is all about you. You could be a team player. You could be a church member. You could be somebody that's not the Lone Ranger, but help others to serve Jesus Christ. There's a joy. Don't miss it. Especially this season. Don't miss it in your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.